What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Double M Live, episode number 82. We getting up there, Mike. We getting
82? Up there, man. Wow.
Numbers of 82. Who comes to mind? Ben Watson.
Ben Watson. Okay, that's a good one. Watson, I didn't even think of that.
He was number 82. That's not a popular number. I think the most popular person to wear number 82, Jason Witten.
Jason Witten, Dallas Cowboys. Okay, yeah. I'm thinking my mind is racing with Patriots right now. Patriots,
not a lot of Patriots graced. There was another tight end that had Algie Crumpler might have been.
Algie Crumpler. He didn't last long in New England, so that's why I definitely don't recall him too much. He didn't last long out here. But I mean, the next episode, that 83, okay.
We're going to have a debate about number 83, receivers. And
who's the best
we'll get there. We're jumping ahead. We're not talking Patriots tonight. You know, a lot's going on with the Patriots, but we're not talking Patriots. We got a special show tonight here on Double M Live. And when we have a special show, we got a special guest, Mike Nice. What's happening today on Double M Live?
We're not even going to waste time. Like Marv said, we have a special guest. We've been having some great guests grace our presence here on Double M. And on this episode right here, episode 82, yet again, another special guest. This guy is like a big bro to me, a big time mentor for me. And he's also the play-by-play announcer with the Sacramento Kings, and he also is the host of the Kings pre- and post-game live show with NBC Sports Boston. Also, he's versatile, doing some sideline, reported on the side. I got to give it up and welcome my guy, my big bro, Kyle Draper, to the show.
Let's
Kyle,
go.
Welcome.
What's up, boys? Hey, where's the theme music? I need my intro music.
It's coming. It's coming. Once the budget gets up there, we're gonna have it all there for you.
I got one question, man. So this episode 82. Y'all don't know 82 people other than me, big fella. Come on. How come I'm number 82? I should be like a number 3, number 4, or something. 82? Come on.
Now you're right. We should have had you.
We had to build it up first. We couldn't just bring you. We had to make sure everything was properly in place before we could have a guest like you grace our presence. You feel me?
Yeah, lucky y'all, fam. Lucky y'all, fam. It's all good.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. But like I was saying, you know, first of all, thank you again for joining us here on Double M Live. A lot going on right now. And like we were talking about a little before the show, I knew when we got to this point in the NBA season, I wanted to have my big bro Kyle join the show so we can dive right in to the NBA season. And yeah, let's not get it twisted. I know you're out there in Cali right now doing your thing with the Kings, doing a hell of a job per usual. But you on the outside, you were on the inside and understood what was going on with the Celtics season. But now you're kind of on the outside looking in. But let's be honest, I think we can all say this season, coming off a Eastern Conference Finals performance last year in the bubble, this year for the Celtics has been, in my opinion, I think in a lot of people's opinion, a huge disappointment. They're clearly not the team they should have been coming off of last year in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat. So I gotta go right to you, Kyle, and ask you, what in the world went wrong with this 2020-2021 season? How the hell do the Celtics go backwards in this current season?
That's a great question, man. And you know, Celtics fans will say, well, COVID, you know, messed us up and we've had injuries. I don't want to hear that crap. Everybody's been dealing with it, right? Other teams have dealt with COVID issues. Other teams have had injuries. Think about it. Denver started off trash. They were struggling. And now they're top 4 seed out west, the number 3 seed. And so I just think, you know, when I watch the Celtics play, and I've watched a few games this year, they have a whole lot of like guys that can finish, let's say JB, Kemba, but they don't have any guys that really make other people better, you know? And I think that's like the next step for a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown or even a Kemba Walker. You don't have to dominate a game always by scoring 30, 40, 50. And I think they have too many guys that think they can dominate the game in that way. And another thing, Let's keep it real. These bench guys ain't been good this season. They haven't lived up to the hype. Evan Fournier, I like him, but, you know, it's taken him a while to get going. These young players, these draft picks, whether it's the Grant Williams, sure, Peyton Pritchard's been halfway decent, but Aaron Nesmith, it took him, you know, most of the regular season to get going. And so they just haven't, you know, gotten the contributions. They're a top-heavy team, and, you know, Kemba's been up and down, JB's been hurt, and Tatum, you know, COVID messed him up a little bit. And so I just think, you know, it's just a flawed roster, to be honest with you. Let's keep it real. It's a flawed roster right now.
So when you bring up flawed roster, right, there's two people you look at. You look at Brad Stevens, or some people like Mike would blame Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge is the person who put this team together after a conference finals championship. This team is on the rise. You lose Gordon Hayward. You're expecting something back. Nobody's trying to hear about tax exemptions and this and that. We're trying to see players come back and build for a championship team. And then the Celtics faltered. Obviously, the COVIDs, the injuries, and everything like that. How much blame do you put on either Brad Stevens or Danny Ainge on what has happened with the Boston Celtics?
Well, they definitely get some of the blame. Let's start with Danny Ainge. You know, the Celtics have had a flawed roster for a number of years. Let's keep it real. They you know, they sure they've been, you know, had the stars and top heavy and things like that. But really, once you get past the top five, top six, you know, it really becomes suspect. You know, look at some of this moves he made. Tristan Thompson, who's, you know, been okay, I guess.
Solid.
Been all right, up and down.
Solid.
But what happened to Jeff Teague? Where did Jeff Teague go? You know, that was a swing and a major miss, right? And then you look at some of these draft picks. You know, I'm looking at the Carson Edwards, the Grant Williams of the world. Like, you know, you got a lot of these back-end draft picks, the Romeo Langfords of the world, that aren't contributing right now. And so when you're a top-heavy team, you look at like a team like the Warriors when they were winning, but they had guys like Andre Iguodala coming off the bench, Sean Livingston. They were relying on accomplished veterans in this league. We haven't had any accomplished veterans. And then the ones that you do have, the Jeff Teagues and Tristan Thompsons, they don't quite pan out the way you want. And so I give some of the blame, no doubt, to Danny Ainge and his roster, and give it to Brad Stevens also. You know, I know fans have been hard on Brad Stevens this season, and some people want him fired. I'm not in that camp, but the heat should be turned off on him. There is no way that this team should be a 7 seed. Mm-hmm. Atlanta is better than you. The Knicks are better than you. Come on, man. Like, seriously. Like, I just don't understand it. And so Brad Stevens, he definitely gets some of the blame. I've always said, you know, when you look at the Celtics coaching staff, a lot of great guys on that coaching staff. But ain't nobody going, you know, who's going to challenge them inside that locker room?
No dogs. Maybe,
but they need a Walter McCarty or somebody from Doc's staff years ago that, you know, it ain't all sweet when you lose. You know what I mean? And so definitely Brad and Danny get some blame. But so do these players. I told you, man, JB, Tatum, you know, you could look at their numbers all you want. But the eye test tells me they don't make the players around them better. And so they sure Tatum can go off for 50 and you can win a game. No doubt about that. But I'm cool with Tatum going off for 20 and let Fournier go off or let somebody else get their numbers. You know, it, like Tatum, you know, I feel like a lot of times young players feel like the only way to win a basketball game is if they go out there and score. They got to score. But you can do other things. You could be sort of not the decoy, but the setup man. You know, you draw the double team, kick it to somebody else for a wide open shot, and then that gets that player going. So, like, for instance, Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they don't have to come out right from the opening tip looking for their shot. They can get the others involved, get some of the Marcus Smarts of the world, the Nesmith, the Pritchards, you know, some of the other guys involved, get them going, the Fourniers. And then when it comes time, fourth quarter, crunch time, then you take over the game. Too many times I've watched the Celtics, and especially Jaylen Brown, and I watch him come out super aggressive right off the bat, but that doesn't help the other guys. And so I think there's a lot of blame to go around.
One thing you mentioned there that I've been huge on is the fact that when you look at the coaching staff, I love Brad Stevens. I think he's a hell of a coach, but I always lament on the fact that after Brad Stevens – the coaching staff is full of a lot of yes men, in my opinion. And hey, I think it's huge in the NBA when you have former players a part of a coaching staff or even the head coach. I think that's huge. And I like the fact that they brought in Evan Turner this year, even though, you know, he's a young guy, you know, it's his first kind of coaching experience, but I like the fact that they brought him in. But I don't even want to dive into it. I want to bring up another name you mentioned, and that's a guy who's starting to catch a little bit of heat. And the questions are starting to rise on how valuable is he to the Celtics team. We're talking about the guy who spent the most years out of all the Celtics, and that's Marcus Smart.
And I'm
I'm going there. My guy Kyle's on the show. I got to go there. Marcus Smart is starting to catch some heat in terms of, you know, you get all the talk. Marcus Smart's the heart and the soul of the Celtics, and he's a leader. And what does he do to necessarily change what's happening with the team? Yeah, he's the heart and soul. He's the dog. He's diving on the floor. He got the nickname, the Cobra, and all of that. But what is he really doing to impact? Because he's not doing much on the court. Like he's not putting up crazy numbers. They say he does stuff that the numbers don't really, you know, notice or whatnot. But is he really a locker room leader? Does he get the team fired up? He's been with the Celtics and the Celtics tradition the longest time. But what is his real impact to the point where what does his future look like with the Celtics team? What do you think Marcus Smart is adding to the Celtics roster?
Dang, Mike, you slandering my boy Marcus Smart, bro.
With the type of season that they've had, you got to look at everybody.
All right, let me break down Marcus Smart for you. And Smart hasn't had the greatest of seasons. He hasn't had the impact that he normally has on a team. But I guarantee you, you call 29 other teams in the NBA, they would love to have Marcus Smart on their team. So if you dissing Marcus Smart, you don't want him.
No diss. I'm just questioning. Questions.
Somebody else will take him, dude. But, you know, you can point the finger at Marcus Smart. Let's go through the whole roster. If we want to do that, then, Mike.
We can talk
about Tatum. Let's not – hey, everybody all, you know, falling in love with Tatum's numbers over the last few weeks. But where was he in late January, February, and March? You know, like, you know, his numbers were down back then. And I know he was recovering from COVID and had to deal with all that. I mean, you know, the players deserve a lot of the blame, no doubt about it. But let's not point at Marcus Smart as some guy that doesn't have value. And the reason why you're hearing him in trade rumors, who else you going to trade? You're not getting rid of Tatum. You're not trading Tatum. You're not going to trade JB either. JB's having a career year. And I know he's hurt right now, but, you know, this guy gets better every single year. And so when you look at the contract situation, you look at the number of years, and you look at the value that you can get back to from him, you know, the most realistic trade option is probably Marcus Smart. I know some people threw out Kemba Walker as well. I don't think that's happening. Not at that price range, not with the knee situation. I don't think you'll get, you know, enough back on the dollar for Kemba. You know, you might get pennies on the dollar, you know, 90 cents on the dollar back for a guy like Kemba Walker. And so I just think, you know, Mike, and I thought you were better than this, because you know why, Marv? Because Mike is coming across as one of these box score GMs, you know. Box score the next day.
Oh, boy.
I'm just posing the questions.
Played well. Come on, Mike. You know he's better than that. He's more important than that.
Yeah, the thing with Marcus Smart is it's the contract. He has the greatest contract in the NBA right now. And like you said, every GM would want it. You know, prior to the season, I remember Mike and I and probably a couple of buddies, we had this conversation of, would you trade Marcus Smart to get a guy like Vucevic on the team? And it was 50-50. At the beginning of the season, it was really 50-50. Oh, no, Marcus Smart's the heart of the team. You know, he brings so much value. But as the Celtics started to struggle, you started to say, we kind of do need a big man. Yeah. We need someone in the post who can score. Marcus Smart's not – I mean, Marcus Smart brings a lot of intangibles to the team. I think he's a better defender when he's defending bigger players than playing guards. I think at the stage of his career right now, guards are cooking him. But if you put him on, you know, you put him on a guy like a Giannis or a bigger player to be a disruption – Marcus Smart's there, and I would love him on this team. It's unfortunately the team that's constructed right now. If you have to look at a player, and you just mentioned it, Kyle, you have to look at a player. Marcus Smart's the odd man out right now. You could right. get value for Marcus Smart, but that's just how it is right now. So we look at this team. We look at the Celtics. They are in the seventh. The seventh seed. They just beat the Washington Wizards, which a lot of people thought, you know, Celtics might struggle against the Wizards the way that the teams were trending up and down. Mike was one of them pointing at himself. But Tatum's 50-point performance, you're going to face the Nets. By the time this airs, you know, a game probably has already happened against the Nets. But I want to get your thoughts overall on the play-in tournament. That's happened. It's the second year in it right now. We're in the play-in tournament. You know, LeBron has come out and been outspoken about it. You saw Luka be outspoken. Mark Cuban, players have been outspoken. But for me, after watching that Curry Lakers game, the Golden State, I'm in love with the play-in tournament. I liked it last year in the bubble. I love it now. But what are your thoughts, Kyle, on this
play-in tournament? No, I like it. I mean, the only people that don't like it are the players that, you know, are those 7 and 8 seeds. That thought, you know what, we should already be in. We shouldn't have to go through this. Think about it. If you're the 9 or 10 seed, if you're a Memphis or a San Antonio, you love the play-in, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're the Wizards, you love the play-in. And so I just think, you know, when you look at it, it's more basketball. It's high-level basketball, too. I mean, think about it. You know, that 9-10 matchup is like the NCAA tournament. You know, you plan for your life there. You plan it for your season. And so I think it's here to stay, man. I think, you know, the NBA has done a great job. And you guys know, I work for the Sacramento Kings, and I'm out there out west. And think about it. If we didn't have a play-in tournament, the Kings would have been out of the mix 3 weeks ago. You know what I mean? But we went into the final weekend of the season on a Thursday with still an outside shot, still something to play for. And so if you didn't have a play-in tournament, you don't have that. So I think it's here to stay. I'm all for it.
Yeah. At the beginning, if you know me well, I'm not a big LeBron fan. I'm not a big LeBron the basketball player fan. But when he came out with his comments talking about the play-in tournament, he wasn't a fan. I agree with him. I guess it's a little kind of an old-school mindset. Is it, forget the play-in tournament. You make the eighth seed. Let's get it rocking from there. But I can't lie. Other than that Indiana and Charlotte game,
right.
You know, the games have been somewhat exciting for the most part. Obviously, you got some lower level team that have a chance, like you just mentioned, the Kings had a chance. If it wasn't for the play-in tournament, no one would have been talking about the Kings having a chance. But you have some of these lower level teams having a chance. So I kind of have shifted my feelings and thoughts on a play-in tournament because it just adds another level of excitement. It gives some teams who would have been written off weeks ago a chance to try to make the playoffs and still have something to play for. So I'm definitely swayed on that. But when we look at the fact that we're now in the playoffs are here, and, you know, you got your teams with their seeds and everything set, you know, a couple other things need to be shaken out. But when we look overall at the playoffs, I tell you what, coming into the season, there's no way I would have ever thought that the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns would be sitting at the top of the Western Conference. In the East, you kind of figured that Milwaukee would be there, the Sixers would be there, and obviously you thought the Nets would be good with Kyrie and Durant, but then you get Harden, that adds another level to them. Right. You figured the Celtics might be there, but we're talking about teams, and I want to shift it back to the West, like the Phoenix Suns and the Utah Jazz, who no one expected it. Right. How serious do you take some of these teams like Utah and Phoenix? Like, do they legitimately have a shot at coming out of the West and making it to the finals? We're talking about contenders and pretenders here now.
I mean, let's keep it real. If we were really ranking the Western Conference, Utah and Phoenix would probably be 4 and 5.
Sheesh, Utah?
Dude, you got to throw the Lakers in there.
Of course.
They're healthy now. Clippers? Can I get the Clippers?
Not yet.
The Clippers are different to me this year. They're different this year to me.
The Clippers are different, but I'm what you did to me last year. Mm-mm. You got to show me, pal. You got to show me.
Can we get Denver in that mix? Is Denver in that mix or no?
I have Utah over Denver.
Using Jamal Murray is huge.
Yeah.
But let's not forget Donovan Mitchell. He's been banged up, and they say he'll be ready for game one. We'll see. You know, I just think those teams need to prove it in the playoffs, you know? And for me, it's a tough road. Think about it. If you're Phoenix, look who you got to match up with. The Lakers. Come on. Think about that. How messed up is that? That
so sad.
You have this great season. Your coach is the coach of the year, Monty Williams. Chris Paul, you know, was in the MVP conversation. Your first round matchup is with LeBron and AD and the Lakers. That's just not right. And so I'm picking the Lakers in that series. I think Phoenix is good, but I'm picking the Lakers. Utah, they're an interesting team because they rely so much on that three-point shooting. What happens when those shots don't fall? Second half of the season, they sort of struggle from three-point shooting. And so I guess their matchup would be either Golden State or Memphis. They'll get past that. But then you got to face a Clippers team. Come on, who you taking, Utah or the Clippers? You know, the West is rough, man. And so I think those guys are contenders, but, man, I still got the Lakers, Clippers, and Nuggets ahead of them.
You really like the Nuggets without Jamal Murray.
That hurts, yeah, but I'm looking at the matchups. Like, if the Nuggets had to play the Lakers or the Clippers, then I'd say, man, that I don't know if they can make it through that. But they can beat, you know, let's say, I guess they would have to play the Lakers second seed, you know, second round, because the Lakers would be the seventh seed. So that'd be a tough matchup. I'd probably pick the Lakers. But when you look at, let's say, Utah, for instance, you go through Memphis, you know, or Golden State, then you got to beat the Clippers. Are you, Marv, really picking Utah against the Clippers? I want you to say that right now.
you want me to say it on air?
On air.
That I'm picking.
He backpedaling like Deion Sanders on there.
Nah, sheesh. I got no. I got Utah beating the Los Angeles Clippers. Wow. I do. I think Rudy Gobert, no one's talking about it. No one's talking about it, but he himself was having an MVP caliber season. And the way that they run through Rudy and having Donovan Mitchell back, I don't believe in the Clippers. And I think the size is going to be a huge difference. Unless DeMarcus Cousins is really going to give them huge minutes.
Right.
I have Utah Jazz. I love how they play. They move the ball like the old San Antonio Spurs. I'll say it. I have Jazz over the Clippers.
Wow.
Who do you? All right. So who do you got winning it all out of the West? Who's coming out of the West?
Lakers.
I can't argue with that. I can't argue with him. I tend to agree with him. I think
everybody is going to pick, even though Lakers are where they are, I think everybody looking at the Lakers fully healthy, because, I mean, coming into the season, people looked at the Lakers and say, wow, they got better than they were coming out of the bubble winning that championship. They're a better team, you know, fully healthy. I see the Lakers coming out of the West as well. When you look at the East, now you're talking about some heavy hitters at the top. Brooklyn, we know what Brooklyn's all about. I think this is the best Joel Embiid we've ever seen at this point in his career. Even though Milwaukee doesn't get all the limelight and get talked about, I think Milwaukee has added some solid depth this year. Giannis is still having another MVP type of season, and they've added some depth over there as well. And Miami Heat, they don't get, you know, all the media and attention, but Miami Heat got better. Losing Oladipo was huge. I know having him a part of the team would have been great, but losing Oladipo was huge. But at the same time, everybody that they had last year is back and fully healthy, ready to go. Are we looking at a foregone conclusion, though? Because, I said all that about the East, but let's not get it twisted. Brooklyn Nets. This is what I really wanted to ask you. When I was driving today, I wanted to ask you, is this Brooklyn Nets team fully healthy, better than any of the Golden State Warriors team we've seen?
Oh, snap. You had to go there, huh, big dog?
That's a question that was turning in my head. Fully healthy. When you look at all the Warriors teams we've had, even with Durant, and then you look at this Nets team fully healthy, are they even better than what we've seen from Golden State? Can they possibly be better than what we've seen?
Oh, yes.
Record-wise? Offensively, but let's not forget that Golden State team was a defensive juggernaut team. Also, they played on both ends. Everybody want to talk about Splash Brothers shooting threes and everything like that, but they lock you down defensively. We know this Brooklyn Nets team doesn't play defense. They're going to outscore you 130 to 128. And so, you know, when we look back on it, the all-time great teams, sure, they may win a title, but You know, those Warriors teams that won 73 games, even the ones with Kevin Durant on them, they played both ends of the floor. I think this Brooklyn team will just beat you with talent, but I feel like that Warriors team beat you with talent and grit also. And so, you know, for my money, I think that those Warrior teams were better. You know, it's like rolling up to the gym, man, and having, you know, the best five players. Of course, you're going to win. But when you're talking about the team that plays the best together, you know, a cohesive unit, man, those Warriors teams were on a string, man. They were so connected. And so, but listen, Brooklyn might steamroll themselves to the title, man, because yeah. They just have so much talent, man. Think about it.
That's an offensive juggernaut. I tend to agree with you just due to the fact that you brought up defense. And Nets, to be honest, what kind of sample size do we have to compare Nets to any type of team, regardless? They've only played together the big three 10 times, I believe. 10 times together. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting playoff series with them. I think if there's one team that could try to sneak and beat the Nets, it's Philadelphia 76ers. Mike, you mentioned Joel Embiid having a hell of a season. He's the ultimate matchup, right? If he can go and get Shaq-like numbers, like Shaq always wants to say, you got to get 35 and 20. If he can go out there and really become that beast, they could give Brooklyn a lot of trouble. DeAndre Jordan is not checking him.
Claxton's not at this stage in his career. Nah. Yeah,
so. Right.
So that
I agree. And the Sixers team is better than people think, man.
Yeah,
they are. You know, they're a more complete roster than we've seen in the past. They finally right. got some shooting. They got a good head coach. And so I got Sixers in Brooklyn in the Eastern Conference Finals, man. And that's going to be a battle.
I want to see that.
Brooklyn just because they got so much talent, but it should be a good one.
I want to see that really bad. I want to see a Brooklyn versus Brooklyn. What did I say? Brooklyn versus Brooklyn versus yeah, Philly. I want to see a Brooklyn.
You all in on Brooklyn, man. I hear you.
I'm a Brooklyn fan. I'm a Brooklyn fan. Obviously, I would hope the Celtics had a better season, but I'm a huge KD fan. I know Kyrie did Celtics dirty in the past, but Kyrie, the basketball player, is just amazing right. to watch. You know, Harden's amazing to watch. You know, so I'm not. I know people hate on Brooklyn because another super team coming together. You know what? I'm fine with Brooklyn having all the success, but if there's one other thing we definitely got to look at when we're talking about this NBA season, obviously the player awards are coming up. You know, all the votes are in yep. for the season awards. And this year is interesting because, like I said, Giannis is having damn near another MVP season, but right. nobody's even talking about Giannis and what he's done this year after his two back-to-back awards. But, you know, you got the MVP, you got the Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved, Rookie of the Year is a good conversation to have. So, I mean, let's get into this and dive right in. Rookie of the Year is a huge conversation. Obviously, I think the top two guys that are getting all the votes is either LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards. Kyle, if you had to give the award out right now, hand it to one of those two guys, who are you going with?
What do you mean one of those two guys? Don't forget my boy Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, okay.
We're talking to a Kings guy. Come on, Mike.
Mark, that's that East Coast bias. I see you, Mike. All right. No, seriously, if I had to hand it out, I'm going Anthony Edwards. And I know that the record doesn't indicate that, you know, his squad had any success or anything like that. But when you look at him, I'm going with the eye test. I've watched this dude play on a number of occasions, and he's gotten better and better and better. If LaMelo would have stayed healthy, maybe it's a closer race. I think this is going to be Anthony Edwards, and it's not even going to be close, man. Like,
wow.
You can make an argument. Listen to this. You can make an argument. If you watch the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I'm going to say it right now, y'all going to think I'm crazy. You can make the argument he's the best player on their team.
Wow.
He's okay. Happy. You can argue.
All right.
Wow.
Talk about West Coast bias.
Mark, you ain't even watched the Timberwolves this season. Let's keep it real, Mark. Come on,
listen.
Man.
Listen,
you stand up to watch?
I'll say this. Listen, I had Anthony Edwards in fantasy, so I watched a little bit. So, but I'll tell you this. Anthony Edwards definitely could be the better player out of LaMelo. Who's going to have the better career? You could definitely make the argument Anthony Edwards. He's got the eye test, like you said.
Yeah.
However, It's LaMelo, and it's not close. It's really not close. LaMelo, from day one, was carrying the Charlotte Hornets and brought them to a better record. Anthony Edwards went through his Yes.
So Gordon Hayward didn't have anything
once to do with once Charlotte. they moved LaMelo to a starting position. Once they made him a starter, it was Charlotte went out and running. Anthony Edwards went through his struggles in the beginning of the first half of the year. He was not good. He was not efficient, but he developed and he had a crazy second half. I understand that. He had a crazy second half, and shout out to Anthony Edwards. He's going to be a stud in this league. But I'm talking throughout the whole year, I know LaMelo got hurt, and that's the only reason why this is a conversation. LaMelo got hurt. Because if he didn't,
Mike, what you think? LaMelo, Mike, you're the tiebreaker. You're the tiebreaker.
I've had this conversation twice today. I told Marv this morning we had this conversation. I'm going Anthony Edwards because the way he turned up in the second half of the season was huge. LaMelo missing time plays a big part into it. But the fact that Charlotte is a play-in team and Minnesota was done a long time ago, I think will sway it towards LaMelo. That's where I'm at. But I agree with you.
Y'all act like Charlotte ain't got no players.
No, LaMelo was the key though.
Nah, come on, man. My boy Terry Rozier is having a career year out there.
Yeah, he sure is.
Hayward Baldwin healthy. Graham was solid for them. But I think the fact that Charlotte is a playing team will sway the decision towards Melo just a little bit. Just
y'all
a little bit.
Too much Sports Center. Y'all watching too much ESPN highlights. don't let them fools, you know, influence you and hype up a guy and make you buy into the hype. LaMelo's great. We know that. But Anthony Edwards, man, I'm looking at the complete game, bro.
Oh yeah. He has it. But I gotta look at we can't ignore the first half of the season. We can't ignore that.
All right. Let's shift it over to defensive player of the year. I don't think this is a lock in on this position at all. Like you can talk about other position. I think this is a lot of these awards are kind of up in the air right now. But when you look at defensive player of the year, I think you can go in various directions. I have a guy in mind, for sure. But I want to hear from you, Kyle. We'll shift it to Marv. Then I'll throw my opinion. Who would you have taken home the defensive player of the year this season?
All right. So what we got? Draymond, Ben Simmons, and Gobert.
Yeah.
Draymond's out. Don't let Draymond talk his way into this.
He sure is it for me.
Greatest defender of all time. You're out, bro. I'm still going with Rudy Gobert. I just think he changes things so much. I mean, as great as Ben Simmons is, I'm a Ben Simmons guy. I just think Rudy Gobert, he alters offenses. Like, he doesn't just take away a guy. He changes what teams do offensively. So I'm going with Rudy Gobert.
Okay.
Mike don't agree. Look at him. Anytime Mike do this, he's like.
Honestly, just like I said with the rookie of the year, I don't think this one is even marginally close. Yo, Ben Simmons, great year. And he campaigned his ass off talking about he should be defensive player of the year. And he might have tricked a couple of people. But it's not close. It's Rudy Gobert. If you watch the Utah Jazz, everything runs through Rudy. Like you just said, I don't need to repeat it. Kyle just said it. He changes the whole game once he's in there. He deflects everything. He makes you switch how you're going to play your offensive schemes. It's Rudy. It's not close.
Wow. All right. I'll be on this island alone because I was going to take Ben Simmons. I think, just like I said earlier, Joel Embiid has tapped into something. Doc Rivers has had Joel Embiid tap into something different this season. And I think that's the same situation when I talk about Ben Simmons, because I think, Ben Simmons has been a great place. He's come in the league, but it's kind of been, do I want to be a scorer or a facilitator? Doc Rivers told Ben Simmons, look, you got your length, you got the athleticism, and you know how to see the court. You know how to see the court. Do that, be great at that, but also use your length and athleticism to be a great defender. And we've seen a great defensive season out of Ben Simmons. Rudy Gobert, I'm not taking anything away from him, but I'm just talking about the fact that Ben Simmons has really tapped into the defensive player that he could be, that potential this year. That's why I look at Ben Simmons and would give him the award. But it's okay.
You're wrong. I mean, it's okay to be wrong. I mean, nothing to be ashamed of.
Ah, man. All right. Cool. Now, ooh, this is the one. I think we might be unanimous on this one. We might be. Most Improved Player Award. Yeah. Who you got, Kyle? Who do you have taking home this award?
For that one again? Who's up for that one?
I don't know.
This should only be one finalist up for this one.
Most Improved. Man, who am I missing? You guys,
we got.
Who am I missing, dude?
You're missing someone. It's going to hit you.
I know who it is, but
I can't even think of another finalist. I think this award is just automatic.
I'll tell you guys the finalists right now. The finalists for Most Improved are Jeremy Grant, Michael Porter Jr., and Julius Randle.
Yeah, cool. Oh my.
Did you catch that, Kyle?
He's cutting out on me. He's cutting out.
We got Michael Porter Jr.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Oh, yeah, Michael Porter.
Michael Porter Jr., Jeremy Grant. Porter Jr. I think we're losing Kyle here a little bit.
I'm going with Michael Porter Jr.
Okay, I think I heard him say Michael Porter Jr.
You going with Michael Porter Jr.?
I think I heard Michael Porter Jr. Yep, okay.
Michael Porter Jr., yes, sir.
Over Julius Randle?
Wow, over Julius Randle?
It's that West Coast bias, man. It's that West Coast bias.
Yeah.
Woo. How can you not?
That California juice is good, boy.
Nah. Hold up. You're right. Julius Randle going to get it.
All right, Julius Randle. Okay.
Yeah, he's going to get it. I mean, the dude's in the MVP conversation, you know? I think Michael Porter Jr. has done fantastic, has made a great leap, but it's Julius Randle. He'll get that.
Word.
Yeah, I think that's automatic. Marv, I think we're all in agreement there.
Yeah, all agreement.
And then last but finally, not least, the Most Valuable Player Award. Who do you guys have taking home this one? I think we might be a little different here, but who do you have, Kai? Who do you have taking the MVP award home?
How are we different? It's clear. It's the Joker, Jokic. He has to be it, dude. Embiid missed time. Steph Curry, what? You want to reward an 8 seed? You want to reward a guy number 8 seed? Come on, bro. Come on, man. 8 seed? That's something to be proud of now? That's something to beat your chest about? Come on. It's clearly the Joker. The fact that they lost Jamal Murray, the fact that they started off slow and yet somehow they moved up to the 3 seed and the dude's been there every single night, Mike. Durability, come on, it's the Joker, man. You better not say Steph Curry. I'm hanging up if you say Steph Curry.
Steph Curry wouldn't even been on my top three. Shout out to Curry though. Joker's gonna win. Joker's gonna win. Yeah. I understand that, but it's Embiid for me. It's the most dominant player of the season.
Bro. Come on,
I know, I understand that. I understand that.
Is Embiid on your fantasy team? I know he is. Marv voted for all his fantasy players. I see
that. Oh, man.
Sorry,
that was, a good catch. That was a good catch. But, yes, Joel Embiid was on my fantasy team. He was the MVP for my fantasy team and the MVP in real life as well. This look, Mike said he was a different Embiid this year with Coach Doc Rivers tapping in with them. He understood, I'm going to take my ass in the post and just start bullying guys. And once he started doing that, he became unstoppable. Jokic, the numbers are there. He was healthy, so he's most likely going to win. But when I look at an MVP this year, I see Joel Embiid.
Okay. I did say we tapped into a different Embiid this year, obviously. But I gotta agree, it's going to Joker just because he sustained it from damn day one all right. the way to the playoffs. It's just the durability. Embiid has been amazing this year. Like I said, a different Embiid that we've ever seen. But the fact that Joker has dominated the game in various ways and has stayed healthy throughout the course of the season, I think is what will sway it in his favor. When it comes to Curry, though, I think, and as great as Curry's been throughout the course of his career, you know, MVPs, unanimous MVP, the championships, the Curry that we've seen this current season is the reason why Curry's name will be, in my opinion, like Curry's been great. He's always been a great player. But when we look back at what really etched Curry's name next to Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, this season right here, in my opinion, is going to be like, yo, Curry did what with what team won that team's have to game plan just to stop him, and he still was able to do what he did.
Like, no one's going to remember this season. No one's going to remember this season.
Nobody's going to remember. The way Curry went off this year, knowing that team game plan.
Because of this season?
Listen. I'm just talking about the individual player. Yes, the team wasn't nothing special, but the fact that Curry was able to lead the league in scoring, dominate the game, knowing that the rest of the team sucked and teams just game plan. When teams look at and see the Warriors on the schedule, all they tell themselves is, look, we got to stop Curry. We don't – who's getting the Wiggins, Draymond Green, somebody in Poole?
Mike, I'll break it down to you like this. Paul Pierce. We know Paul Pierce here in Boston. Outside, we'll look at the outside fan. You think they're going to think about 2004 when Paul Pierce was scoring 26 points a game? Or they're going to look at 2008 when he was scoring 18 points a game and was the truth and won the finals?
Curry, we saw a very different Curry this year on a bad team. On a bad team. I'm just talking about individually. Curry was different this year.
This didn't move Curry up.
I think it did.
Kept him where he is. Great. He's always been great.
I think this gave him definitely another boost. When you talk about Curry, this season gave him a little boost, in my opinion. But my MVP is the Joker from Denver for sure.
Right. Yeah. I think it solidified Curry's place even more. Put him up there in the same sentence as Magic and Bird. Come on.
You wouldn't put him there?
Hell no! Are you crazy? Are you crazy? And you're talking. I watched them dudes live, big fella. I know you think the NBA just started with Kobe and Shaq, but
Don't do me like that.
Put some respect on these legends, man. I don't believe. No, Curry's great. Top 20 of all time. You could argue maybe even top 15, but Magic and Bird are clearly top 10 and top 7 out there. Curry's great, no doubt about it, and he had a great season, but man, and he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He changed the game, no disrespect, but come on, Mike.
Curry can possibly get another ring or two before.
Oh, yeah, his career is not done, for sure.
No, he's not done exactly. Clay come back.
He's two-time MVP. Two-time MVP. Three-time, maybe four-time, five-time NBA champion. He's going to break the all-time three-point record. You wouldn't move him up.
How many MVPs does he have?
Ah, okay. All right. Okay. That's what we're going to face it on.
That's what we want to go back now, cool. Kyle. See, you try to...
Okay.
All I'm saying, this season is not going to be a highlight season that people are going to they're going to talk about the unanimous MVP season. They're going to talk about the back-to-back championship season. This was a great season. This was a great season, but when we talking 10 years down the line, we're not bringing up the 2021 season when they were the 8th seed.
I agree.
Curry's just been a hell of a player, but man, at the end of the day, another season where it's going to be a lot of exciting basketball to watch with the NBA playoffs. Unfortunately, Kyle, sorry that the Kings aren't going to be participating. How far off are the Kings from taking the next leap? Let me just ask that real quick, because since you're in the inside.
If we keep this playing, the Kings will be there next season, bro. If we keep this playing, they're 2 years away from firmly being in the postseason. They got to hit on the draft, obviously, maybe make some trades, sign some free agents, but they're not that far off. I mean, they were just a couple of games out of this play-in. So next year, they're in the play-in. 2 years, they're firmly in the playoffs. How about that?
Okay.
Okay, we'll take it.
Remains to be seen. Again, this is Kyle Draper here joining Double M Live. Kyle's been blessing us with all of his basketball knowledge, all of his insights, you know, his thoughts and feelings and opinions. Kyle, we appreciate you, man, coming on here and just chilling with us, having great conversation with us with your basketball knowledge, man. I couldn't wait. Like I said in the beginning of the show, I couldn't wait to get you on. This is the episode I've been waiting right here to have a guy who's been like a big brother, big mentor with me as, you know, I've journeyed down this path. I couldn't wait to have you on here for sure, Kyle. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining Marv and I here on Double M Live for sure.
It's been a pleasure, man.
Thanks, fellas. I like y'all got graphics and everything too, man. I tell you, man, y'all moving on up like the Jeffersons out here. I like that, bro.
We tried, man. We just got the stamp of approval from Kyle Draper. That's all we need, man.
That's all we need. No doubt.
This is Double M Live. Mike Nice, Kyle Draper, Marv is on. We'll see you guys again next week. See you guys, Double M Live.